You are now tuned in to the Wrestling Purists.
But first, a word from our friends at the No Disqualifications Podcast.
This is Adrian of the No Disqualifications Podcast. And, well, at our podcast, it's no rules, no filters, and of course, no disqualifications. We like to cover everything from the past, present, future, the weird, the macabre, the sensational. And trust me, at our podcast, there really are no rules. We try to make sure there's no filters, and there for damn sure is no disqualifications.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Purists Podcast. My name is Ryan. Thank you for joining me. We are into part three now of March Madness here on the podcast. The first part was the best WrestleMania matches. And then part two was best Royal Rumble winners. I urge you to go check those out. They are on Anchor now. We've recently switched from PodServe to Anchor by Spotify. So please go check that out. If you go to Anchor, you'll see not all of the episodes, all the previous episodes merged over. We did make sure that all of the retro reviews merged over along with some other special episodes that we did. But all the previous prediction shows, any of the larger breaking news stuff that's on there, that won't be there. But please, I still urge you to go check it out. Check us out through Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music. So here we are today, part three. And I do have one that I really want to do, but it's probably the last one I'm going to do. But that's not today. Today, we are doing Kings of the Ring. Now, if you're not familiar with King of the Ring, it used to be a pay-per-view. The last King of the Ring pay-per-view was 2002. We did have a tournament in 2015 and I believe 2019. But outside of that, it's been touch and go. So we had 2015. Sorry. All right. So since 2002, 2006, 2008, 2010, then we have 15, 19, and then we had one last year in 2021. So, King of the Ring tournament. Very excited. So, we have a total of 22 winners. But this one, it's saying only goes up to 2019. So, it's going to stop with Baron Corbin. So, no Xavier Woods in this one. Sorry. Maybe we can figure out a way to sneak him in there somehow. But we're going to go through and we're going to look at everything that we can. And hopefully we can get a clear-cut winner as to who the best King of the Ring in WWF and WWE history is. So without further ado, let's click and find out. Starting off, of course, on a hot one here, it is Baron Corbin in 2019 taking on Mabel in 1995. Baron Corbin was a Raw superstar at this point. The 2019 tournament was separated between the two brands. He defeated The Miz, Cedric Alexander, Samoa Joe and Ricochet in a triple threat in the semifinals to get to the finale when he beat Chad Gable. He didn't really do much after that. I mean, I wish I could say he used that and really, you know, projected himself. But there was so much chicanery through the whole thing. A lot of Shane McMahon interference on the SmackDown side, which nobody wants to see Shane McMahon. Corbin had a feud with Chad Gable for a while. This is how Gable would get his name, Shorty G. And then Corbin would feud with Nakamura over the crown. We'd get King Nakamura, and then he would relinquish it. So, nothing. So then let's go to Mabel. And widely regarded, Mabel as one of the worst King of the Ring winners of all time. But let's check it out. It might not be that bad. First round defeated Adam Bomb. And then on the pay-per-view, defeated The Undertaker. And then was supposed to face the winner of Kama, the Supreme Fighting Machine, and Shawn Michaels in the semifinals, but they actually went to a time limit draw. So Mabel got a free pass to the finale against Savio Vega. And Mabel won, so then he was King Mabel. He was immediately given a push. Even had a WWF Championship match against Diesel at SummerSlam. Then would have multiple feuds outside of that. So just given the fact that Corbin didn't have a world title shot after he won his King of the Ring, Mabel did. And on that merit alone, we're trying to build a new star. I'm going to give the rub to Mabel. Ooh, okay. Next up, we have Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1996 and Hunter Hearst Helmsley, also known as Triple H, in 1997. We'll take a look at Austin in 96 first. Find him here on the bracket. Defeated Bob Holly in the first round. Defeated Savio Vega in the quarterfinals. Mark Merrow in the semifinals. And then Jake Roberts in the finals to win. And then we would get the infamous you sit there and you thump your Bible, you say your prayers, didn't get you anywhere. You talk about your Psalms, talk about John 3:16. Austin 316 says, "I just whooped your ass." And this was the plateau for this. This was the launch point for Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if he didn't do that, who would know? Who knew what would come next? Immediately pushed to the main event scene. He would keep calling out Bret Hart, would eventually get the match, and then it's the rest is history. Like, this is gonna be very difficult because I know that Triple H's run here in 97 was pretty decent also, albeit shorter. Would defeat Crush in the quarterfinals, Ahmed Johnson in the semifinals, and then Mankind in the finals. Fun fact. So before we have what we have now, the Wrestling Purist podcast, and I know what I'm kind of doing now, we I was a part of another podcast, and I had a segment. It was called Referee's Discretion, and essentially what I'm doing now, Referee's Discretion merged into the Ref Bump. The Ref Bump merged back briefly into Referee's Discretion, and now we have what we have now. Now that I'm no longer with that podcast, but I did a trial run. I needed to kind of figure out, you know, noise, lighting, etc. So I was like, I'll pick one match. Okay. So I picked the King of the Ring finals match from King of the Ring 997, where it was Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Mankind. And it's kind of something that I wouldn't say is sentimental. I would say this, and then the first actual pay-per-view viewer I ever did was Heroes of Wrestling, which I'm thinking we're going to do again, but nobody tell Jeff. If somebody tells Jeff we're going to do it, he's not going to watch it. But anyway, Hunter Hearst Helmsley won. They would continue to feud for a while. It would merge into the feud with Hunter and Dude Love. And then from there, it would form DX. So I'm going to give the rub to Austin. And I think not only is it the fact that Triple H, he would form DX from there. They would break up, get back together, break up, get back together. You look at Austin. He did the Austin 316 catchphrase. Immediately, a main eventer calling out Bret Hart, would win his first Rumble the next year, 97, win another Rumble in 98, and it's just a rocket from there. And hell, he's going to be at WrestleMania 38 here in a couple of weeks, so wild stuff. So now we look at the 2002 winner, Brock Lesnar. And then we take a 4-year hiatus to get to 2006, where it's Booker T. So between 2002 and 2006, there was nothing. The 2002 King of the Ring had Brock Lesnar winning. Brock Lesnar beat Bubba Ray, Booker T, Test, and then Rob Van Dam in the finale. And then wild about this year's edition is that the winner was only not the King of the Ring, but received an Undisputed Championship match at that year's SummerSlam. So fast forward to that year's SummerSlam as the Undisputed Champion being The Rock. Brock Lesnar won, and he was the youngest world champion in WWE history until Randy Orton won his first world title a couple of years later. But the path we used to get there, I think Brock was dominant. I think the end result was what we all wanted because he was red hot. But then let's look at... Let's look at Booker T. All right, get to the bracket. So this year's is very unique because everything took place on television except for the final, which was at Judgment Day of that year in 06. So Booker T beat Matt Hardy. Got a bye in the semifinal match because Kurt Angle had to forfeit due to injury. Came to the finals where he defeated Bobby Lashley at Judgment Day. So I think this is a pretty easy one. I know that we would end up getting King Booker, which, kind of jump-started Booker T's career to, you know, compared to where he was at the time. Now, Booker would go on to win the world title at the Great American Bash. So maybe not as easy as I thought. This is a tough one. I thought this was a runaway. I almost want to say that for the age and the experience that Brock Lesnar had at the time, this put a rocket to him, put the title on him, and made him an immediate star, whereas Booker, it was a career reinvigoration. So let's look at how the matches went. So here's the tiebreaker for me. I want to see how their world championship opportunities went. So I'm on Booker T. I'll start with him. He received a World Heavyweight Championship match against the current champion, Rey Mysterio. Chavo came out, hit... it looked like he was going to hit Booker with the steel chair, instead hit Mysterio, and then Booker pinned him. Whereas Brock and Rock, that's your tag team right there, Brock and Rock connection. Lesnar stopped a people's elbow and a rock bottom and then hit an F5. Now, Paul Heyman got involved earlier in the match, but was not a determining factor like Chavo. So, with that being said, Brock Lesnar advances. All right, so here is where we have to do a little bit of thinking, because we have Sheamus, who won it in 2010. And then versus Bret Hart, the only two-time winner in WWE history. So the Bret Hart we're looking at versus Sheamus is from 1991. So taking a look at the chronologically kind of whacked out order here, we had it from 85 to 89, then skipped to 91, 93, and then had it from 94 to 02. So between 1989 and 1994, the only King of the Ring was Bret Hart. spin that however you want. So we'll look at Sheamus first. So the 2010 version, very much the same. As oh god, what did we just talk about? Good lord. The one with Booker T, except everything was on television. So in the qualifying matches, they were paired off into Raw and SmackDown matchups in the first round. So in the quarterfinals, we were guaranteed to have a Raw guy versus a SmackDown guy. So Sheamus defeated R-Truth. Then Sheamus defeated Kofi Kingston in the quarterfinals. In the semifinals, Sheamus got a bye because in the other quarterfinals, we had a double countout between Drew McIntyre and Ezekiel Jackson. And then in the finals, it would be Sheamus defeating John Morrison. This was a special episode of Monday Night Raw where the main event was not this. It was a TLC match for the WWE Championship between current champion The Miz and Jerry the King Lawler, whose birthday it was. Wow. Lala lost. Obviously, Miz climbed the ladder, got the title, but distractions from Alex Riley and Michael Cole. so bad. Sheamus would go on to TLC to face John Morrison for a future WWE title match and lost. And then going into the new year, he would continue to lose John Morrison, not getting really any real title opportunity until the build up to WrestleMania 27. We look at Bret Hart in 1991 bracket here. He defeated Pete Doherty in 33 seconds, beat Skinner in the quarterfinals. In the semifinals, received a bye due to the double disqualification with The Undertaker and Sid Justice, and then would lead to the final, which would be him defeating IRS. So this one is tough to grade. Bret Hart was the current Intercontinental Champion. Sheamus was there. It's also a fun fact that in 91, Bret Hart made an Intercontinental Championship defense against Skinner, who had previously been undefeated. So, with that, I give the rub to 1991 Bret Hart. Now we'll move on. This is the left side of the bracket to the semifinal. Or sorry, the quarterfinal. Mabel in 95, Austin in 96, Austin in 96, no doubt. And then we talk about Brock in 2002, Brett in 91. It'll be Brock. And then between Brock and Austin, funny that this is the semifinal in a King of the Ring best of, where it was Brock's year in 2002, where him and Austin were scheduled to be in the qualifying match. This was infamous because Austin, quote unquote, took his ball and went home. So I'm going to give the ball to Austin and let him bounce onto the finals and bounce Lesnar out of this tournament. So we've already got Austin in the finals. Let's go to the other side. Boop, 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 boop. All right. Owen Hart in 1994 and Bad News Barrett in 2015. You know, everything after, you know, 2002 is just not good. No bueno. So the 2015 version exclusively aired on the WWE Network. Bad News Barrett defeated Dolph Ziggler, R-Truth, and then Neville in the finals to become that year's King of the Ring. And then if you look at Owen, it happened at the King of the Ring pay-per-view. Bracket, 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 bracket. The first round on TV, he defeated Doink the Clown, and then on the pay-per-view, defeated Tatanka, the 1-2-3 Kid, and then Reza Ramon in the finals to win the King of the Ring. So it's funny how little brother follows in big brother's footsteps here, where where Brett, and we'll get to him on this half of the bracket. Brett won in 93, Owen won in 94. And then we talked about this on the retro review a couple weeks ago. Owen beat Brett at WrestleMania 10. And with this King of the Ring win, we would get the SummerSlam match between Owen and Brett. And yet another banger from Owen and Brett in the steel cage for the title. The whole Hart Foundation there showing support for one or the other. Very similar to their WrestleMania 10 matchup, just inside a cage. And then what would happen to good old Barrett? So he would win. He would lose to R-Truth. Got eliminated first in the Intercontinental Elimination Chamber match. Lost at Money in the Bank. Briefly had a... Okay, I'm not going to keep going with this. This is obvious that Owens was miles better than King Barrett. Which is unfortunate because I really think that he dropped the ball with Barrett. I think after the NXT invasion and essentially after that year's SummerSlam, you know, there was really nothing for him. He had a couple Intercontinental title runs. That was really it. It's really unfortunate. We will move on. We have got Edge in 2001 and William Regal in 2008. And I feel like Regal's will be a little bit quicker. This is again all on Raw. It was a one-night thing. SmackDown, Raw, and ECW were all involved. And I say ECW and Raw very loosely because there were 5 SmackDown guys, 2 Raw guys, and 1 ECW guy in the entire bracket. So, a little interesting there. There was a main event still. It was just a regular episode of Raw, which was so weird. But our guy, William Regal, in 2008, defeated Hornswoggle, then defeated Finlay by knockout. And what happened was Regal kicked Finlay in the head and then put the Regal stretch on him until he passed out. And then defeated ECW's CM Punk at the time. Regal hit the knee trembler, locked in the Regal stretch, and kept it rolling. And it's very interesting to note here that Regal is the current Raw general manager. So after he won, he had a feud with Mr. Kennedy, which would lead to a loser gets fired match where William Regal would lose. Yeah, he lost the loser leaves town match. And in reality, this was because he had a second violation of WWE's wellness policy and was suspended for 60 days. It's funny because CM Punk loses here in under 5 minutes to win Regal. Fired. Comes back 60 days later. Comes back to Raw and loses to World Heavyweight Champion CM Punk. So it wouldn't be too long, though, before Regal would kind of work the rest of the year and then eventually be shipped off to the ECW brand. So then we move on to King of the Ring 2001, where we're looking at Edge. We had the qualifier where he defeated Test, and then the quarterfinals where he defeated Perry Saturn, both of those on television. We then move to the pay-per-view where Edge defeated Rhino, and then in the King of the Ring finals, defeated Kurt Angle. Now, this would be Kurt Angle's infamous triple threat. He would do this in TNA as well. And I don't want to get too much into this show alone because we will get to it on the retro review in June. But this would lead to the destruction of Team Wreck, which would be Rhino, Edge, Christian, and Kurt. And of course, that's because they had matches within the tournament. So, yeah. eventually, Edge and Christian would be the only ones left out of that were still a team. Not for long, Christian would turn on Edge. Then they would feud over the Intercontinental Championship. I'm going to go Edge. And it's because he did get the win over Kurt Angle. He was at least in the mid-card championship storyline. He got that sweet trophy, too. All right. We have 98 versus 99 as the winner of the 1998 King of the Ring. It was the Royal Rumble there, but it's King of the Ring. Ken Shamrock taking on the 1999 winner, Mr. Ass himself, Billy Gunn. No bracket on here. Oh, there it is. Okay. So we'll take a look at Ken Shamrock first. Just as Edge's year, the first round and the quarterfinals were on TV. The last two matches were on pay-per-view. Shamrock defeated Kama, the Ultimate Fighting Machine. Then Mark Henry, then Jeff Jarrett, then in the finals would defeat The Rock. And this is infamous because this was the match right before the infamous Hell in a Cell match between The Undertaker and Mankind. And then we look at 99 with Billy Gunn's win. The first round, he defeated Viscera. In the quarterfinals, he defeated Ken Shamrock. That would be by referee stoppage. Defeated Kane in the semifinals, and then defeated X-Pac in the finals. And this is not only overshadowed by the main event with the McMahons versus Stone Cold Steve Austin, where it was a ladder match and Austin was reaching for the briefcase and it got pulled up into the rafters, and then the McMahons would climb and it would get lowered again. So it got overshadowed by that. Normally I would dig in here a little bit. But I'm going to give it to Ken Shamrock. Billy Gunn's path was underwhelming. One of his matches was by referee stoppage. And then you look at Ken Shamrock's run. He was in a feud with The Nation at the time. So, Mark Henry. And then I think getting Jeff Jarrett. But then the ultimate win, getting The Nation's The Rock in the finals and winning. And making him tap, no less, was supreme. And the fact that, you know, even after Undertaker and Mankind, you know, we still remember this one more than the other one. So, just the small things. So, before we move on to the next round, just want to point out some ones that weren't included. Anything before 91 wasn't included. And now that I see the title of the bracket, it says 91 to 2019. So, which they got wrong, but it's fine. So we're on to the semifinals. Owen versus Edge. I'm going to go Owen. And then, oh, boy, that's right. 2000. Whoever created this bracket gave Kurt Angle the bye in the 2000s King of the Ring. So the first two rounds were on TV. The rest was on the pay-per-view. This bracket is absolutely freaking huge. Good Lord, how many people? 32 people, good Lord. So Kurt Angle defeated Bradshaw, Bubba Ray, Jericho, Crash Holly, and then Rikishi in the finals. And this was in 2000. So then Angle wins the King of the Ring tournament, is immediately pushed into the main event. Of course, he's the best. He's one of the best pure professional wrestlers of all time. So he got his title shot at SummerSlam 2000, which he didn't win, but looked really good in defeat. Aligned himself with Triple H. And then at Unforgiven that year, he would have a match with Triple H after that kind of fizzled out. And then at No Mercy, which would be in October, so June, October, for Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle would defeat The Rock and win the title. So Angle gets the rub there. And then you look at the semifinal matches. You have Kurt in 2000 and then Owen in 94. And here's kind of where it gets a little tough for me, because Kurt Angle's led to a world title. Owens did not. Kurt Angle used his to become a main eventer after SummerSlam of that year, where we had the steel cage match between Brett and Owen. We didn't really have much to build off of from that. We did the King of Hearts. We would get the Heart Foundation reunion. Then we'd be the Black Heart Nation Domination. So it was unfortunately just a mid-card kind of bump from that. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Kurt Angle. which then leads us to the finals between Kurt Angle in 2000 and Stone Cold Steve Austin in 1996. It's quite possible that Kurt Angle in the year 2000 probably had one of the best rookie years in recent memory, because let's remember, because I mean a lot of people say that Ronda had a great rookie year. I remember Kurt debuted, you know, in the very late 90s. He debuted in November 14th of 99, and throughout the 2000s dominated. But then you look at Austin, and he really used it to propel himself into the main event scene. And he had been dwindling in the mid card, and so I'm going to give it to Kurt Angle. And the reason being, because of the curtain call. And for those who don't know, the curtain call involved the Click. If you don't know who the Click was, it's Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, amongst other cogs in the system. In April of 96, Nash and Hall were going to WCW. Their last match was May 19th at the Garden. It was a tag team match with Hunter Hearst Helmsley and Diesel taking on HBK and Razor Ramon. Sorry, disregard. I have my notes backwards. So Triple H and Diesel were the heels at the time. HBK and Razor were faces. I just lumped them both together for some reason. So the main event of that show was HBK and Diesel. It was a steel cage match. And then immediately after, Razor came in, hugged Shawn, which made sense because they were both faces. And then Hunter came in, hugged Razor. Diesel came in. They all hugged. A lot of times, X-Pac is considered a member of the Click, but he wasn't involved in this at the time. He was in rehab. So the reason I bring this up, though, is because originally, Hunter was supposed to win the 96 King of the Ring. Instead, plans had changed because of Hunter's involvement with that. And right now, Shawn Michaels is your WWF champion. So you have Diesel leaving, Razor leaving, HBK is your champion. Who's left to punish? Hunter drew the short end of the stick. He would win the following year. So while Austin's was probably more impactful, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. So I give the rub to Kurt Angle, King of the Ring 2000, as the greatest King of the Ring winner of all time. I hope you enjoyed this third part of March Madness here on the on our podcast. Sorry, I'm trying to link up with Jeff right now to make sure we get everything recorded on time for tomorrow. Speaking of, head on over to either our anchor page through Spotify, any of our streaming platforms, catch up on some old retro reviews, check up on our 2021 awards. Let's see, what else did we keep from that? My rant on NXT 2.0, my rant on Royal Rumble and Shane McMahon, or the first two parts of March Madness. Head on over there. Head on over to the Twitter page. That's the WP underscore pod, THEWP underscore POD. And that anchor link, okay, that's a solid link to check out. And I say that because there's no more buy me a coffee. All right. You just go straight to Anchor by Spotify. You can listen there and you can support the show from there as well. That is anchor.fm/thewpp. That's THEWPP /support. If you go to any of our episodes on any of our streaming platforms, that link is in the episode description. So don't worry about writing it down. Don't worry about rewinding. You're good. Be sure to check out tomorrow's retro review. Like I just said, just trying to coordinate with Jeff. It's WrestleMania 14 next week. That would be March 27th. We welcome Travis Lassiter from Wrestling Ruined onto the podcast. We will be taking a look at WrestleMania 19. And then 2 weeks from now, we welcome the No Disqualifications podcast on. That'd be April 3rd. We're going to be taking a look at WrestleMania 21. And then we give our guests a little bit of a break. And then we'll see them back in May. So that leaves me with this for everyone. Whether you're right or you're wrong, we're always right. Because we are the wrestling purists.